Dear Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Now, when you use promo code DNVR, you can make a $5 pregame money line bet on any NBA game. And if your team wins, you get $150 in free bets. That's with code DNVR and only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. I am your host, Patrick Lyons, and joining me today is going to be veteran Richie Schaefer. What's going on, Richie? How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. I've been watching a lot of your videos lately. It's interesting how the algorithm works. Certain things pop up on your feed, and I'm like, oh, this is interesting. You tell some great stories about, you know, your time in the big leagues, and do a really great job talking about like the approach for young players and things of that nature. So where did the impetus for wanting to get into the social media world following your playing career?
Yeah, it's weird, right? When you play baseball, it's not one of these sports that is recreationally played, right? So if you're a golfer or a basketball player or something, you stop playing, you can still go play around a golf or go play pickup with your boys, or go shoot hoops. But like when baseball, you just stop forever. Like you don't do anything baseball related ever again. You go from like 20 years of it being your entire existence. And then when you're like, okay, I'm going to hang up the cleats, and you're like, wait, I'm just never going to touch a bat or a ball or do anything ever again. So I was like, how do I stay in the game without the lifestyle of baseball kind of consuming me, right? Because like coaching or any type of stuff is so all encompassing. So I was like, all right, the social media world is really picking up. There's a lot of cool stuff out there. There's a lot of like interesting stuff out there. So I was like, I feel like there's a voice that needs to be out there about the mental side of the game, because I'm just a big believer in that my own career was tapered because of the mental side. And I'm like, all right, I wish I had some of these tools in place when I was younger so I could have built them. And so that's like the main thing, is basically just trying to help younger players, and not even younger players. I mean, I've had a lot of minor league guys reach out to me and talk to me about this stuff too. And just create a more applicable version of some sports psychology stuff. I'm not a psychologist or a doctor or anything like that. It's just applicable stuff for my playing career, stuff that I learned along the way. And how do we make that usable and functional like you would your cage work or anything else?
Yeah, I want to talk about your playing career, but you know, bringing that up, because you give away a lot of that stuff, you know, for free, which is mm-hmm. great. But you also have this really cool program, the Six Tool Athlete, which, yeah. you know, a lot of people that whether you play it or not, you know, baseball can be very expensive. And yeah. now for youth sports, the travel and all that stuff, very expensive. The Six Tool Athlete is very affordable. And I just love how you're helping people build the mindset and confidence, because, you know, as you point out, like, you know, the physical part gets you so far, but you need sure. that mental edge that you had all the physical stuff. I mean, you're still in great shape now. You're 31 years old.
Yeah, I'm 31. I feel great. I mean, I always talk about, like, the hard part being retired at this age is feeling like you can still physically go do it. That's the toughest part, because there's plenty of times where I'm like, man, I should strap it back up and get going again. But, you know, there's so much else to it that, you know, it's just not worth it anymore. But I'm just a big believer in that, you know, your ceiling is your mental ceiling, right? I mean, no matter what, your physical tools will get you a certain point, but if for you to maximize your physical ability, you are only as good as your mind is. And so I really try to make an effort to give away as much as I can with it, but especially for social media, it's such short form content. It's like, how do I create a systematic program that can give people all the in-depth information they need in a way that, you know, is like you said, affordable and sustainable and doesn't feel exploitative in any way. Like, I just truly want to help people, but I also know that, like, you know, there is value to this information. And I think that, you know, it's something that you should want to pay for if it's looking, you know, to get your game to the next level.
Yeah. It's just, you're very genuine too. That's the other piece of it. And maybe self-aggrandizing a little bit, you know, of just sort of like, all right, look, here's what I didn't have. Here's what I did have going. You have, again, you know, good clips from your playing career. You know, we're a Rockies-based show. So, of mm-hmm. course, it jumped out to me. Two big home runs you hit in your career. Bartolo Colon. So yep. right there, you know, he's a legend. And Ubaldo Jimenez, you know, yep. for a while for the Rockies, obviously, was their go-to guy.
Yeah, I mean, those were awesome experiences. Obviously, the Bartolo one. Bartolo is such a beloved, you know, player that when, you know, people hear that I hit a home run off Bartolo, they're like, oh, what, really? Like, even the most casual baseball fan has, like, heard of Bartolo Colon. And so they're always like, oh, dude, that's so cool, or whatever. So, yeah, those are great. And then, obviously, I caught Ubaldo kind of the back end of his career when he was with Baltimore. But he was still nasty. I mean, I hit the home run off of him my first at bat, and then he kind of carved me up the next at bats after that. He's like, all right, that's not happening twice, buddy. See you later.
During your playing career, it was a short amount of time. So I don't know how many memories you have of playing ball in Colorado Springs. It was one mm-hmm. of the last Colorado Springs Sky Sox to exist before they were essentially, you know, wiped off the affiliated map. Now they, of course, exist as the Rocky Mountain Vibes. But can you remember anything? Here's something that I sort of noticed throughout your playing career. You've, like, almost never played west of the Mississippi. Was
yeah.
that, like, your only time when you were in Colorado Springs?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I do remember it pretty vividly, because it was the first time I played in the West Coast at all. All of my affiliates throughout, like, my entire career were all East Coast. I was in the International League for AAA for the vast majority of my career. The big leagues was all East Coast. Even when I was the away teams, I got to, like, we flew to Houston, and then I got optioned and sent back. You know what I mean? So, like, I didn't even get all the way over. So I definitely remember Colorado, because it was by far the most west I had been. And it was really funny. I actually have a pretty funny story from my first day in Colorado Springs. I was in the spring training complex, kind of getting ready. I'd been on the, you know, it was the middle of the season. I hadn't played in about, you know, 3-4 weeks, whatever. They wanted me to get a few reps in before I reported to Colorado Springs. And so I flew in kind of late at night, and I just couldn't find, it was like, it happened immediately. So I didn't have time to, like, find a place to stay or whatever. And so I'm like, you know what? I got in super late. I'm just going to crash, like, at the stadium. So I was like, I'll just try to sleep at the stadium, like, whatever, I'll figure it out. And so I'm trying to sleep on, like, the training table. It's like 3 a.m. I'm like, this is miserable. I can't do this. Like, it's so uncomfortable. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to go check into a hotel. At, like, maybe 4 a.m, I get an Uber. I leave the stadium. I go check into a hotel. Of course, like, the only hotels around was, like, crazy expensive. So I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. Let's get an Airbnb. I get an Airbnb the next day. When I get to the Airbnb, normal day, whatever. But when I wake up the next morning, I hear this like weird noise. I'm like, what is going on? What is that noise? It's like this. I'm like, what is going on? I look outside. My Airbnb has like a 500-pound hog as a pet, and it is like snorting and growling right outside my window. And I was like, where am I right now? What is going on? So it was just a funny introduction to Colorado Springs, but I loved it there. I thought it was great. The elevation is obviously really difficult to deal with when you're not used to it, but I loved it. The ball flies there, obviously. So that was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was cool.
Was that like very, very noticeable, obviously, like just taking BP? Although they don't typically take BP on the field, I think, quite as much. They got like the out and on the first base side, they have like an indoor batting cage. But I don't know. Did you notice? Can you like definitely tell like, oh, yeah, this ball's moving?
Oh, yeah. I mean, so it was actually two polar situations. It was either if the wind was blowing in, it was like, good luck. You couldn't, like, if you hit the ball and it would like go really high in the air, then it would just hang there. It would never come down and the wind would blow it back. Or the other way around, the wind was blowing out and you could just like sneeze on balls and hit them 500 feet. It was crazy. I mean, it was the drastic nature of both sides of those was insane. There were like no normal hit balls at that stadium at all.
Were you a little surprised and maybe disappointed that it didn't have like a mountain facing view? Like you don't see any, you just see a development out in center field and you're like, oh man, what a missed opportunity.
Yeah. Right.
Here.
Yeah. You have such beautiful like mountain ranges and stuff. There would be nice to have that in the background. Because anytime you have something kind of like back there behind the fence, it's always really cool to see. So yeah, I've really missed the opportunity right there. What are we doing?
Yeah. You're talking before about, you know, with your playing career, you're playing up until 2019. I was curious how much like, the pandemic is, I mean, the pandemic, everyone's got like their different stories in life and as well as in the playing career. Was that for you like a moment of like, you know what, this might be a sign. I was maybe on the fence a little bit. Maybe this is a sign telling me.
So no, I actually had made the decision probably with like a month left of my 2019 season. I was in indie ball trying to make my way back. I was having a good season. You know, I mean, like indie ball seasons are shorter. And I think I played maybe 100 games. I had like 27 home runs. I was playing to my like skill set, right? I was doing what I was doing. I'm kind of a low average, high on base kind of guy. I was doing everything I needed to do, just wasn't getting a ton of interest. And I'm like, you know what? I can chase this thing forever. And I'm just not 100% confident that I am going to get another opportunity to get back to the big leagues. And I just kind of wanted more control over my life. As much as I loved baseball, baseball does give you the ability to kind of just hang on forever and ever and ever. So at the end of 19, I was like, you know what, this will be it. My last month, I'm just going to go play for the love of the game for one more month, enjoy it. And then at the end of the season, I'll hang it up. And then when 2020 rolled around, the pandemic hit, basically all the minor league guys got wiped out. So, I mean, I kind of looked at it as like, all right, you know what? Like maybe I made the right decision here. You know, this was, I wouldn't have been playing anyway. I've been training all offseason, getting excited to try to get back to affiliated ball just to get wiped out. That would have been a huge bummer. So instead, I hung it up and went back and finished my undergrad degree at Clemson and then started my crazy trail of getting to this point right here over the past like 2 years or so, 3 years.
Yeah. Doing a little bit of everything. I think
everything.
Twitch,
yeah.
Twitch, right?
I was for so, yeah. So during the pandemic, when there wasn't a whole lot going on, I started doing that. And that was really fun. I learned a ton. It's actually been super helpful for all my baseball social media stuff because all the equipment, all the software, all the editing and all that kind of stuff is like super applicable to all the social media content I'm making. So I learned a lot of that there. I got into like angel investing because of it, because a company approached me and was like, hey, where are you doing this Twitch stuff? We've got this whole esports company. So that kind of started out my entrepreneur journey. It was a weird transitional period, but it was a lot of fun.
Would you, the advice that I would probably, you know, give to anyone, because I had a weird route to get into this position myself, but it almost sounds similar in your story, is just do it. Just go out, kind of do the thing and figure it out, because it's almost like maybe not having a safety net in a sense. I mean, again, you want to be smart about it, but still at the same time, sometimes you just got to do it to figure out, you know, how to be successful at a thing and just put yourself out there.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think having like an inkling for action is always something that's really important to just go do. Like I say that to myself more than anyone else. Like I am someone who really likes to be prepared. I like to have, you know, all my I's dotted and my T's crossed. I'm like, okay, everything's got to be perfect. But you know, the more I've learned and the more that I've done stuff, it's like, all right, at some point you just got to hop in and go do it. And then doors will start opening, avenues will start kind of revealing themselves. And then you start to figure out, you know, where my strengths are, where my weaknesses are, what I like, what I don't like. And then all of a sudden other opportunities start popping up that wouldn't have been there had you not done it. So I agree 100%. It's just kind of dive in. If you have something that you're on the fence about, just start. Like, things don't have to be perfect. Just hop in and see what the heck happens.
Was that the impetus? So again, talking about you doing a little bit of everything, you also wrote a book,
yep,
Feet of Earth, a novel. Like, where did that come from? Has that just been something, you know, you've long wanted to do, is be an author?
So I've always been like an extremely creative person. Like, creativity has been a huge outlet of mine. And one of the weaknesses that I have had is from a business standpoint, it's like, all right, how do we take the creativity side and how do we create, you know, monetize businesses out of it? The creativity is a strength of mine, and the operation side was a weaker side of me. So it's like, all right, I have this idea for a story, and it actually kind of stemmed from some of the mental stuff that I talk about, where I was working with a mental coach while I was playing. And this is kind of right in the middle of my like peak time, like 15, 16, 17 in those years, where I was a really big prospect. I was in the big leagues. I was back and forth, a bunch of stuff. And I was going through a ton of pressure. I was like putting a ton of pressure on myself. Anxiety was through the roof. Stress was through the roof. I was like in a really bad place mentally. And he was like, hey, you need to separate yourself from baseball. You need to find something that you can empty your energy and your focus into after the game that's not baseball. Because I would just go home and obsess over my swing and obsess over my results. And it was just toxic. And it would really, really drag me down. So I started journaling. I tried a few other things and things didn't stick. But then I tried journaling for a little bit. I really liked that. I was like, this is kind of cool. But then you can only write about your feelings so much until you're just like, all right, this is kind of, I'm getting sick of this. Let's try something else. So I had this idea for a story. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just, after every game, I'm just going to write a page or two just as a therapeutic release, whatever. So I did that for basically the entire 2017 season, just as a means of keeping my mind off of baseball when I was done. And then I looked up at the end of the season, I had like 400 page book written, and it was obviously had, you know, a lot of rough spots because I didn't plan anything. I was just writing. And then over the course of, a year or two, I was chipping away at it here or there, but I was still playing. And then when I stopped in 2020 and then the pandemic and everything shut down, I was like, all right, this is my one opportunity where the world is like stopped moving. Like, I have an excuse to just sit down and finish this and, you know, not have to focus on anything else. And so that was a big priority for me. It was like, let's actually figure out how to do this, how to publish it, how to get it out there in the world and make it a real story. And so it's awesome. We've sold probably maybe 2,500 copies up until this point, which has been awesome. It's got, you know, pretty good reception, and a lot of those are friends and family and stuff, but it escaped the friends and family circle for a little bit and got some cool feedback. So I really loved it. I obviously have a ton of other stories and stuff I want to tell. And now it's just figuring out how do I manage the time of that? Cause it was an astronomical undertaking, like the hardest thing I've ever done. It was crazy.
Wow. Yeah. That's incredibly impressive. I think it's science fiction. I think.
Yes. Right? It's sci-fi. Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, so I'm then big aliens guy. That's me. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Cause then the logical question is like, okay, can this get optioned into a movie or a series? Do you write a sequel? Do you do something different? Is it in the same world? I mean, have you started on that next project, or are you still just in that process of, I want to get all my ducks in a row and really think this out before I really start putting pen to paper?
So I knew, like, I, as I was doing it, I understood how impossible this was. And so I'm like, all right, I don't want to make something that the story needs to continue, because I'm not sure I can pull this off again. Like, I don't know if I'll have the time, the energy, and the resources to like pull this off again. So I made it a standalone story. But I have like a million other ideas. One idea that I want to write, it's actually baseball related. So it's less sci-fi. But my dad was in the FBI for about 20 years, and he worked early in his career in Kentucky. He worked a lot of undercover work in like these biker gangs and stuff that did, drug trafficking and all kind of stuff that, you know, the gangs do in Kentucky. And I thought it'd be a really cool idea, because I played 2 years in Montgomery, Alabama, and there's this like kind of this strip of from Kentucky through Tennessee to Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, where these biker gangs kind of roam through. And I played 2 years in Montgomery, and I was like, how cool would it be to make like an Ozarks meets like Bull Durham situation, where like I tell some like biographical truths of my dad's undercover work, some biographical truths of my time in minor league baseball, but somehow combine them where like I somehow have to get involved because of my dad's undercover. I don't know. So that was like the nugget of an idea where it's like, how do we combine like Ozark with Bull Durham and make it like a baseball thriller type situation. So that was I'm still working on that one, but yeah.
That's brilliant. No, I like that. That's great. There was one little passage in a book. I think it's just called The Continental League, which in the 1960s, basically they were trying to form like a different, you know, version of Major League Baseball and different cities around the country, Denver, Buffalo, Tampa. I think it was basically a lot of places that ended up becoming expansion cities in the 60s and whatnot. And there was just a passage that was in there having saying something about a guy who, participate in bank robberies at all these different affiliates that they've gone to. And I'm like, that's something.
There you go. That's perfect. That's what we need. We need the best stories are based off of true stories. So if you can find some kind of little nugget of truth like that, and then let it spiral out of control. Those are always the ones that are the coolest. So, yeah.
Well, if I follow your lead and I write that book, the character's name will be Richie Schaefer. So
perfect.
That will be a nice homage. Richie, let everybody know on all the different platforms where they can find you at. And I recommend that they definitely search you out and find your stuff.
Yeah, I'm on social media across TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok, it's Richie.Schaefer. YouTube, it's Richie Schaefer. And then Instagram, it's like Richie_Schaefer. So some combination of Richie Schaefer across all social media on Twitter as well. It's rschaefer8. So if you have any interest in hearing more about in-depth stuff about the mental side of baseball, I tell a lot of like just MLB stories as well. I just told one recently about my rookie year where I got lost in New York City. And so I'm going to do some like general baseball, funny humor, baseball content as well. And then if you're a younger player listening to this, or you're a parent who has a younger player, probably the high school, the college age, sixtoolathlete.com, the number 6toolathlete.com. It is a mental training course for hitters, teaches you all about confidence, approach, how to deal with adversity, and basically all the mental skills that hitters need to maximize their potential. So that's basically what I got.
That's good stuff, Richie. Thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
No, thank you. This has been awesome. I appreciate it.
Head on down to the corner of Colfax and New York to the DNVR bar, especially since soccer season is continuing, especially after Team USA's big 1-0 victory against Iran. They're going to the knockout stages. Next game, I believe, is going to be Saturday against Netherlands. Whoa. Regardless of the result, you know that it's going to be popping off down on the corner of Colfax and New York, naturally. If you are a diehard, and if you're not, you need to sign up at the DNVR.com, where your annual membership is going to get you a free shirt each and every year. Also, if you're a diehard, you get access to the diehards only Discord, where we answer all kinds of different questions behind the scenes that we might not be able to talk about on Twitter or here on the podcast. We also have some new groups that get popping up all the time. There's people that are into tennis. You can meet those people. You can meet the other folks that are in our community that are involved in that. Lacrosse, we've got a new one for Discord and lacrosse for folks that are into that. So that's a lot of fun. But the big deals are, of course, 15% off your tab when you're down at the DNVR bar, 20% off all the merchandise that we got at dnvrlocker.com. And you also get 20% off any of the tailgates that we have going on. Broncos have one coming up here very soon, which, you know, again, what happens inside the stadium is not going to be anywhere close to as much fun as that's going to be going on outside of the stadium at our tailgates. We've got party bus going down for Avalanche, Nuggets, you name it. Head over to dnvrlocker.com to find out more information about all these different parties and tailgates that we got going on. You know, if you are at the DNVR bar, we're serving you Breckenridge Brew. That's right. Breck Brew is what is on tap. And sure, it is still Mile High Country season. Broncos Country Pale Ale, of course, is the way to go. Show off that colorful Colorado legacy with the Orange Crush logo and 100% Colorado ingredients. This is your go-to for the entirety of football season. Whether you want it to be over or not, Breck Brew's going to hook you up. If you're not sure where you can get it, like Susie, she was able to figure it out the other day where she's at in North Carolina. It was nearby. All she had to do was go to www.breckbrew.com. And that's how she found the local Breck Brew near her. The NBA season is heating up, and there are so many unknowns. We've been talking about it ever so briefly. LeBron coming back from the injury. You know, how are the Nuggets going to fare as they really target that Christmas Day matchup against the Sun? The Suns, look, if you want to get in on the action, you got to do what I do, and that's tap into DraftKings Sportsbook. It's the official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can bet just $5 for the pregame money line on any NBA team to win. And if they do, boom, $150 in free bets. They also got the stepped up same game parlays. That's what I like to tap into. Basically, you add more legs onto your bet, which allows you to boost your winnings. You get bigger payouts, bigger shot to win. All throughout the entire season. And even if that's not even NBA games, you can do that for just about anything, the same game parlays. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. And with promo code DNVR, you can place a pregame moneyline bet of just $5 and earn $150 in free bets if your team wins on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Well, in the Colorado Rockies world, they've started a little bit early on their transactions ahead of the winter meetings next week. Nothing major, but it is Matt Cook, minor league signing for the Rockies. He pitched a little bit last year with Seattle, fared well, had really solid numbers, in fact, in AAA down in the Pacific Coast League. His ERA was a little over 3, and in that league, that's impressive. Now, he pitched most of his games in Tacoma there for the Mariners, and that favors pitchers a little bit more than the rest of the ballparks in that league, where rather it's not as damaging to a pitcher like it is in Albuquerque, as we know. So nice little pickup for the Rockies, for a guy who, you know, does have some big league experience. You know, he's 32 years old. He's from Iowa. Nice. Not much more to say than that. Look, the real deals are going to be coming next week during the winter meetings, free agency, trades. I think all of the world is pretty much just waiting for Aaron Judge to maybe make his decision. I think some of the starting pitchers too, once they come off the board, that will really help define the market all throughout Major League Baseball. So that will be that'll be really helpful to kind of get things moving along. So the market is set. All right, if this is the top of the market, this is how much Aaron Judge makes, or Verlander or DeGrom or Carlos Rodon, then immediately everybody after that can start to fall in line. And that's where I think we'll see the Rockies kind of fall in. I don't know if they're going to make that big move. You know, Brandon Nimmo is that guy that they've obviously been linked to and that they're very interested in, but so many other teams are very interested in him as well. There are only so many premium left-handed hitting bats for the outfield, and Nimmo is by far the best. Cody Bellinger is nice for 1 year. Kevin Kiermaier is not going to provide a lot as far as the bat is concerned. And if he does, you know, it's going to be average. Defense is where he's at, but it's going to be average, and it's only going to be for a couple years. You certainly can take care of your situation, you know, a little bit more so if you do go that route with a Brandon Nimmo.
I have a quick question on this. So if you get Brandon Nimmo, Cody Bellinger, and a rotation pitcher, how far can this Rockies team actually go?
I mean, that's a big ask, right? If we're just making
this is like me in fantasy land. I'm playing like, yeah. I'm thinking the Rockies have billions of dollars and they're gonna spend all of it.
Well, yeah, actually, I think that would be a major help. Like if you're plugging in two premium bats like that, into your outfield, and we know the Rockies kind of have. Well, they don't really have depth in their outfield. They've got some guys maybe you can hope and dream. They've got some bodies, yes. But if you're upgrading immediately with Brandon Nimmo, he's going to be your leadoff hitter. Cody Bellinger, he might be further down in the lineup. That's going to provide some protection for Crone and Brendan Rodgers. And if you get a front of the line starter, actually, Nimmo, Cody Bellinger, and, okay, Jacob DeGrom. Yes, I think this team would then be a contender. probably not to win the NL West just yet, but he would. They would probably have a shot at maybe making the wild card. Yes.
So Brandon Nimmo would take the leadoff spot over Charlie Blackman.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely. He Charlie's days as a leadoff hitter have kind of been over. I know they used him a decent amount last year. I think that was just because they didn't really have anybody else. It's kind of a weird spot too, where, you know, the role of a leadoff hitter is a lot different than it's been in the past, where, you know, you wanted a guy who was fast to get on base and steal bases. Well, stolen bases are definitely out of vogue in baseball. They may come back a little bit with the larger bases and with the pitchers not being able to throw over, you know, more than twice. So I think that can change. But ultimately, you just need a guy to get on base. I mean, look at the Philadelphia Phillies. Look at the stout man, the powder keg that was Kyle Schwarber. He was their leadoff hitter. So you don't necessarily, you know, need a guy Mickey who looks Henderson. Like a Garrett Hampson. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just have to have a guy who gets on base. And so Rockies don't really have that guy. Ryan McMahon gets on base at a good clip. But I think he's better serving the team as more of a guy who's going to drive in runs towards the middle of the lineup and at the top.
You heard it here first. They'll get Brandon Nimmo, Cody Bellinger, and Jacob DeGrom. And we're going all the way, baby.
That's it. Okay. There you have it. That's some good news here that we got. But of course, next week at the winter meetings, we'll find out about that. I might have to ask. I've got a couple questions already that I got to get into our good friend, Mr. General Manager Bill Schmidt, and figure out, all right, we've heard some rumors. Now, I'm not going to tell them who the rumors were started by or who it was the source, but we'll kind of wait and see what happens. Look, you could sign Cody Bellinger for just 1 year at $18 million and still get another, you know, big name, if you will. We just know no pitchers are going to be amongst those big names. It's going to have to be like a Brandon Nimmo. So Nimmo and Bellinger actually is not impossible. It's not impossible in the least. So we'll wait and see what happens next week for that at the winter meetings. The thing that really intrigues me is, could the Rockies really make a move in the Rule 5 draft? The draft will be on Wednesday, December 7th. And there's a couple of interesting names out there, I think, that could fill a void for the Rockies, as we've talked about this offseason. There's like maybe five reliable relievers that you have right now on the 40-man roster that, you know, have big league experience and have proven themselves, you know, quite effective. And, you know, again, pitchers do not want to come to Colorado unless maybe they're out of options. So the Rule 5 draft could be one of those places. I think they're sitting at 39 guys right now on the 40-man roster. So if not, and they want to make more than one move for a player on the 40-man roster, or rather to make more than one move for the Rule 5 draft, they would have to move another player, bottom line. But it will be interesting because the Rockies don't typically get active in the Rule 5 draft. Really, Jordan Sheffield from 2021 was their last guy, and Tommy Canley. I mean, that's it. Those have been really the only two guys that they've ever, you know, made a move for. They don't even like draft a player and then see if it works out. And if it doesn't, offer him back to his previous team. It just doesn't happen that way. They'll draft a player and then trade him to another club. As we know, the Mark Canna deal from several years ago. Basically, a team says, hey, Colorado, we want this guy, and we're afraid he's not going to be available when we make our pick in the Rule 5 draft. Can you draft him for us, and then we'll give you a bucket of balls? Those are some things that can transpire during the Rule 5 draft. And so it'll be interesting to see if this year, if they get a little bit more active on that. Unfortunately, you can't go and actively watch the Rule 5 draft in person, or the MLB draft. Actually, you can watch the MLB draft, and I'm not sure if you need tickets to that. They've done it the last 2 years a couple times. They're trying to make it into a bigger, better event. They've got the draft lottery coming up. I think that's going to be on Tuesday. The dates they're all getting jammed together because there's just going to be so much happening in San Diego starting on Sunday. I will be there in person. The entire all-city media team is going to be there. We got Ryan from Chicago, Jesse from Phoenix. It's going to be a lot of fun. But bottom line is, if you do need an event that definitively does have tickets to it, you got to go to Game Time Tickets. It's the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, shows, you name it. Cool thing is, if you wait closer to the start of the event, you can get discounts of up to 60%. So let's say you're in the area and you're just on the fence. I don't know if I want to go, maybe not at this price. Some of the folks, or even if they're just, you know, ticket scalpers themselves, maybe they want to just get rid of their tickets at the last minute. They want to take something. So you know what? They're going to discount those prices, and you can tap into those discounts with Game Time. 15 million folks have downloaded the Game Time app already and have scored the best seats to all their favorite events. You can actually just hit the link in our description to save on that. So two names that I'm interested in for the Rockies to maybe sniff around and maybe make a move are two left-handed pitchers. Now, again, right now, you got Brent Suter on one-year deal, right? Not even a deal. He's got 1 year left of club control. And we're still waiting to find out about Lucas Gilbreth. If he does need Tommy John surgery, if he's going to be able to rehab and be back for the start of opening day. But right now, you definitively only have Brent Suter as a left-handed arm in the bullpen. So there's two guys. Kansas City has left TJ Sikema available for a selection in the Rule 5 draft. He was the 38th overall pick in 2019. He was originally with the Yankees. He actually went to Kansas City in the Andrew Benintendi deal last year. He's got a slider that's been rated as above average. And although he's a starter right now and had, you know, okay numbers in a sense, if you squint a little bit at AA, he could be worth, you know, just transitioning him over into the bullpen. That's something that takes some time to learn. You know, to go from a starter to reliever, there is a transition period in that. There have been very few like Lucas Gilbreth who've made that transition so quickly and so seamlessly, but it's worth taking a shot on him. Eric Miller, another one of those players from Philadelphia, more walks per nine than you'd like to see at a guy like him, but he's got an above average changeup, which if you know anything about Rockies pitchers like Herman Marquez, a changeup like that is going to be incredibly effective. So that will be interesting to see if they are active. I kind of predicted that they would be with all their spots that were going to be available on the 40-man roster. Then they added five guys on that day a couple weeks ago. And so that list shrunk down quite a bit. But they've got room for one. I think they might. I think they might surprise and go against the grain and make a move. If you also head over to
Really quick, one in 10, how likely are they take a picture?
I mean, I think it would be a pitcher more than anything than a position player. The list of position players are kind of just okay. They have enough of those kind of guys that are just, you know, okay. They've got bodies, yeah. To use a word that you like there. But yeah, they've got bodies that can hit. So really, I think it's just they're going to look to go the pitching route. You can't find a decent starting pitcher in the Rule 5 draft. So I'm glad you asked that. Yeah, these are players that were not added to the 40-man roster. So their team said, we don't even want to keep you around and then maybe promote you later on this year or maybe even next year. And if somebody takes you, you know, hey, good for you. You're not going to find starting pitching. Really, it's you know, a bench bat, which the Rockies have plenty of, and a relief pitcher.
Also, with the Rule 5 draft, do you take over their contract they currently have, or do you have to renegotiate everything?
Yeah, so you're basically just giving the guy the league minimum. So, because this is a player that's hasn't been in the majors yet.
Okay.
In your Rule 5 draft. Actually, that's not always true. I'm drawing a blank on the guy's name. Because you could, Jeff Houston was actually a Rule 5 draft pick whereby he was on a minor league deal, but then he was still made available. Yes, ultimately, they're not expensive at all. Yeah, it's just basically young players that haven't got a chance yet in the major leagues.
You know, we got to take care of millionaires' pockets at every corner we can.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, they did raise the league minimum to $700,000, but it still seems a little bit light in general, so to speak. So, yeah, relief pitching is kind of the way – at least for the Rockies and what their needs are. Because the other piece is you have to have the player on your roster for the entire season. And if it's, you know, if it's a starting, you can't hide a player on your roster. He's going to be on the 26-man roster and he's going to have to play. And if he's not good, you got to keep rolling them out there. So it's something that's been around for a while. Rule 5 draft, I mean, it even dates back to Roberto Clemente. I mean, he was in the Brooklyn Dodgers organization and the Pittsburgh Pirates. You know, the Dodgers tried to hide Roberto Clemente. So it's been around for a while. But the bottom line is, you know, you get an okay player. You get, you know, the 20th, 21st best player on your roster, but it's not a lot that's going to move the needle. As a relief pitcher, it could move the needle a decent bit, especially when you consider that the Rockies have one lefty that they can count on right now. Now, over on the dnvr.com, there we have an article that just came up this week that is unlocked. It's free, about other players who could actually make an impact on the Rockies this next season. Players who could possibly follow in Ezekiel Tovar's path. Now, Tovar was very much a top prospect last year in 2021, but at the start of the year, he wasn't. He was on, you know, Rockies fans, you know, their radar as an interesting guy that, hey, maybe we'll wait and see what happens. But it all came together for him in 2021. He started the year at low A, and by the end of the next season, he was in the majors. That's a big jump. He climbed every rung on the ladder. And that can be rare, absolutely. But it's also something that is very possible for some other players in the Rockies system, for the Rockies to get some contributions out of them. First guy on the list is a player on the 40-man roster now, Warming Bernabeu, third baseman, who had a fantastic showing with Fresno in his first full season. You know, went up to Spokane, you know, was just as good, on base percentage down a little bit from what it had been in the Cal League with the Grizzlies. Looked a little bit overmatched in the Arizona Fall League, but expect him to start at Double-A Hartford. And from there, once you're at Hartford, I mean, all bets are off. We're starting to see Bill Schmidt now promote guys from Double-A, skipping right over Triple-A, bringing them right up to the show. I like this. I like this kind of, you know, aggressive attitude towards the guys that are in the system. Another one of those players we could possibly see by the end of next season, left-handed pitcher Joe Rock, 6'6", 200 pounds, still needs to put on a little bit of weight. I spoke with him in spring training. He did talk about, you know, some of that focus that he has in the off season, putting weight on, good weight, not just fat. He does have nutritional goals that he's worked with the team on. You know, he started in high A Spokane, so he actually skipped low A Fresno. But his for his first full season, you know, looked really solid there with Spokane. Got two appearances, two starts with the Hartford Yard Goats, so he'll probably start there next year. And so, again, he is only one step away from the major leagues. It could be another guy that ends up contributing. We talked about Hunter Goodman being one of those players. We talked about Evan Shaver earlier this week with Susie. Braxton Fulford, I think, again, might be a stretch there. Since he only played in low A this past year, catcher, did play in the Salt River Rafters of the Arizona Fall League. So the organization definitely thinks highly of him. Is more of a defensive first guy, but put up really good numbers in Fresno. So I think this one's more of a long shot, but I did want to give him a mention in the article because of, again, getting that nod to handle some of the Rockies pitchers like Blair Calvo, who was added to the 40-man roster. So obviously they think very highly of him. We also have left-handed pitcher Mason Green, who I think in the long run is going to stay as a starter. I think he's going to need to have a real good 2023 in order to, you know, crack that ceiling and make the Rockies. You know, if you transition him to a relief pitcher, I think he gets to the majors a lot quicker, but I don't think you need to do that, as he was named the best left-handed starter in the California League last year. So there's obviously that potential there. And the thing I love most about his resume, the dude at Central Missouri, Division I school, he was 27-0. Like, that's pretty impressive. And somehow he fell to the Rockies in the 12th round. So you know, if he gets himself to Double-A, he could make that jump that Noah Davis did, going from Double-A to the majors. And then finally, a couple of guys I wanted to give a shout out to because I love their story. Adam McKillican. Now, this is a guy, Canadian-born player. He was undrafted out of the NAIA school, so real small school there. Was released pretty quickly, and Rockies picked him up. And in low A this past year, low A and high A, he was fantastic. 44 innings pitched with the Grizzlies, 1.64 ERA. looked incredibly solid. And right now he's actually playing down in Australia. So he's one of those guys you just got to keep your eye on, because there's some potential there. 24-year-old guy like that.
So he's Canadian with an Irish name playing in Australia?
Yeah, he's the total package, I think. Yeah.
Talking about international players the other day, that's the guy that the MLB should be promoting everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, very well could be. Actually, a question from Ethan in our chat here. Again, if you're listening to this as a podcast, you can always join us over on YouTube each and every day at 11 o'clock Monday through Thursday. Susie usually has her show at about 5 o'clock on Fridays. But Ethan asks, do you think skipping AAA will be a trend with how well some guys and how well have guys done with that? So we haven't really been able to answer the latter part of your question, Ethan, because a lot of the promotions from AA to AAA have been so late in the season that we haven't really been able to give a full rating to these guys with this small sample size in general. But yeah, I think this is going to continue to be a trend. Guys, more pitchers than anything, skipping over AAA to go to the majors. Because when you go to the Pacific Coast League, I think that could mess with a lot of guys in their heads just a little bit. They're big leaguers, and I think you get over it. I think you're able to get past that, undoubtedly. But it's going to affect your confidence, at least in the short term, just a little bit. And so if you can just get a guy up to the majors, get him that experience, taking the flights, traveling around, being in that big league clubhouse with the guys that are going to be their teammates for the next few seasons, you're just going to see a lot more of that. So getting that promotion from AA up to the majors, it's happening more and more. The first guy was Ryan Feltner in 2021, and then we just had Gavin Hollowell. We had Noah Davis. And sure, you could say Ezekiel Tovar too, but probably would have gotten called up and been to the majors a lot earlier if it wasn't for that groin injury. So great question on that one, Ethan. And then finally, two guys that I think have a long way to go. It's wishful thinking. But hey, if you want to just look at their numbers, maybe, just maybe, they could fall on Ezekiel Tovar's path. That is shortstop Adel Amador and Yankiel Fernandez. I mean, those two guys were at the heart of that Grizzlies team that won the California League. They were both fantastic. They're only 19 years old, just like Tovar. But I think they still have a ways to go before they are big league ready. And that's okay. Again, they are part of really this coming movement of young Rockies players to get them really good. It's, you know, going back to something that you hear was putting out there, this idea of like, okay, well, you know, how good would they be if they added some serious, you know, players to the roster? And again, if it was two or three of the right ones, maybe, just maybe, you could say that, you know, the Rockies could be at least in the conversation for the third and final wild card spot. But I'm sort of the mind to think that Rockies almost need to be in a holding period, in a sense, for right now, that they really need to get some of these guys to the major leagues, figure out what they have, so that when it does come time for these younger players to be established big league vets, you can then go out and say, what do we need now? What do we need in 2025, 2026? And we've got money to spend to do that. But if you spend some of that money now, you don't necessarily know. If you sign Brandon Nimmo now, hey, it would be great if you had two center fielders, right? If you had Benny Montgomery and you had Brandon Nimmo there in center field, and you put one in right, you put one in center. Okay, that's great. But you might prefer to just have Montgomery in center field and Yankiel Fernandez in right field. And now you've got Brandon Nimmo maybe making 20 some million dollars, and that money could be spent, you know, elsewhere on a second baseman. Who knows? Who knows what the future holds at that point? So it is kind of strange to say that the Rockies should be in a holding pattern, but that really is because I do believe in the prospects that are coming up in the system. And if that's going to be your window of contention, the Rockies window has not opened up. The players themselves will have to force that window open in 2023. It's not beyond the realm of possibilities. It's very unlikely, but they'd really have to jam open that window to make you think that it could happen sooner, like 2024. Until then, maybe sit back just a little bit, see how things play out, and then be able to determine what your needs are going forward and make some big moves in free agency and trades. They still should try to make some trades, though, undoubtedly, and improve the roster. But as far as big name signings and free agents, I think the Rockies may still be a year or two off from that. But again, Chris Bryant last year, shrug emoji. That's all I got to say about that. If you want to join us and get in on the conversation, all the fun stuff on Twitter, you can follow us at @DNVR_Rockies. At Patrick D. Lyons is where I'm at. And I think super producer Yahir is at Yahir_G_Vasquez. Did I get that right?
I recently changed it, so I think that's right. I don't even know my own Twitter handle, if I'm honest.
All right, well, that's okay. You got to get into the comments then so people can see your business and they can follow you as well. This has been wonderful. It's been momentous, but unfortunately, you know what they say about momentum. It's only as good as your next show. So we'll talk to you tomorrow at 11 a.m.